People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Fine Music Radio, and welcome to the program People of Note. Rodney Trudgeon here. And today we're going to be talking about this very exciting tour coming up, a musical feast really. The Grammy Award-winning Minnesota Orchestra and its music director Osmo Wenzka are about to embark on a 5-city tour to South Africa, the first visit by a fully professional United States orchestra to this country. And it's all in connection with the worldwide celebration of the late Nobel Peace Prize-winning South African leader and human rights advocate Nelson Mandela on the centenary of his birth this month. And the orchestra is going to perform the world premiere of a piece of music especially commissioned. It's going to be written by Bongani Ndodane Breen, and it's called Harmonia Ubuntu. The whole project has happened because of an organization called Classical Movements, who are well known to bring choirs and orchestras and move them around the world. And the senior vice president of Classical Movements is Johan van Sail, a South African now living in America, who is with me in the studio. Johan, welcome. It's good to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Just before we get on talking about Minnesota and all the other things you do, am I right in saying you live in the United States?
Yes. Our head office is in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of D.C., and that's where we are based.
And how long have you been there?
Since the beginning of 2010.
Okay. So how did you get there? What happened to make you leave us and get involved in this extraordinary company?
It's a very long story, but I would try and trim it down a bit. I've been in tourism for some years in South Africa, and I have my own safari company, which I still have and operate. But Classical Movements came to South Africa post-1994 and looking for a partner, and somehow found me, and I started handling tours of their choirs and other musical groups that they used to send here. And in 2007, I met the president of the company, and a relationship started. And in 2010, we got married, and that's why I moved there.
Oh, so the president is your wife?
That's correct, yes.
I see. Okay. That's a good enough reason.
That's a good enough reason. But also, I really loved what Classical Movements does. I enjoyed doing it in South Africa, but some clients asked that I would accompany them to other parts of the world as well. So that happened prior to our wedding. And then also, I used to go to the U.S. to speak to people who wanted to come to South Africa but who had heard some bad things about South Africa. So I would speak to patrons or parents or so of groups that wanted to come, and then was successful in bringing them. And they all became very good advocates of South Africa after that.
And what is Classical Movements actually? How would you describe it as a company?
We have a slogan that says, moving the music, changing the world. And that's sort of our vision of our president. She's unique in the sense that she's originally Indian. She's in the U.S. now for 35 years almost. And she started this company in 1992 because she had a passion with classical, Western classical music growing up in India, because her father had a passion with that. And her father and mother were part of quite a famous choir there, which is quite rare too at that stage in India, the Paranjothi choir out of Mumbai or Bombay then. And that's how she got involved in love for classical music, and she was trained pianist from very young. So she started a company, a tour company, but it quickly evolved into just touring for classical music groups.
But now to move an entire symphony orchestra is a very big thing, especially an award-winning and very famous symphony orchestra. So am I therefore right in saying that this company has tremendous credibility and is well-known and is regarded as hugely successful?
I would definitely say that. It's quite a unique company. We're sort of a boutique company in between some of the larger ones and then the more touristy production, high school choirs on tour type of thing. So we have a niche in the market where we have very good music schools, some of the top universities and some of the top orchestras in the U.S. that travel with us.
Mention some of the other orchestras that you've moved around the world that we might know of.
Philadelphia Orchestra, I'm sure you know them.
Indeed, gosh.
And then Baltimore Symphony, yes, with their current Maestro Marin Alsop, and then the National Symphony out of Washington, D.C., has traveled with us for more than 30 tours already, and then Dallas Symphony, Seattle Symphony, St. Louis Symphony, Cincinnati Pops, as well as the Symphony.
My goodness.
Just to name some.
That's real name dropping, that. But it shows, as I said, gives your company this credibility. No huge symphony orchestra is going to take a chance by going with someone that they don't absolutely trust, because the logistics must be a nightmare.
That is true. Specifically this project as well. There's a lot of things that American companies or orchestras take for granted in the way they travel in Europe and where they get big fees and, you know, the comfort levels and the that type of stuff, but which doesn't exist in South Africa. You can't bring an orchestra here and expect to make money out of ticket sales. So they had to raise all the money for this. So it's a total different project. But Minnesota Orchestra is unique in this sense. They went through a rough patch at some stage with a lockout and some strikes and things. They recovered from that, and we took them to Cuba as the first South American orchestra to go back to visit Cuba after President Obama announced the normalization of relationships. And there were some other big orchestras like Chicago and New York who really said they came to be the first, and Minnesota clipped them. We actually put that tour together in 90 days. It was 3 months from the moment we decided until they went. And they've raised the money. They've got a dynamic CEO and a very open pocket,
really?
Deep pocket donors,
yes.
And that made it possible.
Very generous donors. Okay, well, I want to talk more about how the tour to South Africa came about, but First of all, Johan, let's have your first piece of music, and I dare say we might even hear the Minnesota Orchestra here.
Yes, certainly Sibelius Osmo has become very known for his interpretation of that, and I particularly like this the Ensaga. It's really a relatively short piece. They often play it as an encore, but I've come to love this because of my exposure to the orchestra and how often they play it.
Thank you.
music of Sibelius, one of his tone poems, part of En Saga, with the Minnesota Orchestra conducted by Osmo Wenske, and the first choice of my guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week. And he is Johan van Zyl, Senior Vice President of Classical Movements, the organization that's bringing the Grammy Award-winning Minnesota Orchestra and Osmo Wenske to South Africa for a 5-city tour. So you mentioned, Johan, just before that, Osmo Wenske is hugely respected for his Sibelius. I know the magazines I read, the Gramophone and various others, have raved about his Sibelius recordings and his Beethoven recordings, mm-hmm. and we might get a chance to hear one of them a little later. But you were telling me about classical movements. I'd like to find out now just how this came together. Obviously, you said a lot of money had to be raised coming to South Africa. So was it... From that, when you got the money, was Minnesota and Osmo Wenske from the start very keen to come here? Because I know Osmo Wenske has been here before.
Yes. I think the management after the Cuba tour and the change in the attitude of everybody, not the attitude, the whole feeling of the musicians and management has just evolved during that tour because of the collaborative experiences they had with local ensembles, even, you know, local Cuban types of ensembles, but also with their youth orchestra. And they were looking for more of this. You know, touring Europe, you go into the big halls, you play them night after night, and you go home, and that's it.
Sounds wonderful.
But this
but
was...
I can imagine from their point of view.
This was a great experience, and they love it. And they've actually started an ongoing relationship with their youth orchestra and the Cuban youth orchestra, and they're visiting each other backward and forward. So there's a lot of cultural exchange and cultural diplomacy that happened. It was difficult in Cuba if it wasn't for the relationships that classical movements had there over years of touring there during the Clinton and the Obama years. It would have been very difficult to put it together. But now, to South Africa, they were looking for another experience like that. And after Cuba, our president was just so pumped up and wanted to arrange something special again with an orchestra. And she's always had this passion of bringing a famous orchestra on a Southern Hemisphere tour. But because of the cost being so prohibitive for that, she started focusing on South Africa. And she's got a big passion with South Africa.
Has she been here before?
Oh, yeah. She's been here quite a number of times. Okay. So it was dropped in the ear of the management. They asked Osmo, and Osmo had just been here a year or so before, and he actually collaborated, I think it was the 50th anniversary of the South African National Youth Orchestra.
I think that was it, yes.
Known as SANYO. And he had a concert here in the City Hall, in fact. I listened to a recording of the national anthem, for instance, that they played. It really gives me goosebumps when I listen to that. And so he already had an experience of South Africa, and he wanted to, and he endorsed it, of course. Mm-hmm. And that helped.
And the orchestra themselves, the members of the orchestra, are they suitably excited about coming out here to the tip mm-hmm. of Africa?
Very excited. I was on tour with them earlier this year in the Midwest, and it was snowing, and we had delayed flights, and it was really tough. And I kept on saying, South Africa or Africa is going to be better.
Yes, well.
But they are very excited. I just saw a photo the other day of them posing outside Orchestra Hall with South African scarves on.
Oh, so they're all into the mood
very
to come
much,
out here.
Very much, yes.
And how did they choose the repertoire? Because it's quite interesting. There's Beethoven's Fifth, there's the Candide Overture, there's the Sibelius Symphony. And then you're doing, in Johannesburg, you're doing a big Soweto concert with parts of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, as well as a whole lot of traditional work, which I think will be very interesting and challenging for the orchestra to play. Did it take a while to reach agreement?
Oh, yes. A lot of research had been done, and we wanted to try not to exclude certain types of songs. So that's why when you started looking at the African repertoire, we really tried to include at least some of the known larger languages as well. Mm-hmm. So there's some Zulu songs in there, there's some Sotho, and there's certainly Xhosa in there as well.
And for us here in Cape Town, just looking at the actual program, we've got the Candide Overture by Bernstein, which is always a fantastic opener. Then this work I mentioned, Harmonia Ubuntu by Undadana Breen, who's a local composer, Bongani. How did he, I think you commissioned him, didn't you? How did that come about?
Classical Movements has been commissioning music for our clients since 2005. Created a fund in the name of Nita's father, who passed away some years ago. And it's really been an exciting experience. We've had some very interesting, you can see it on our website, commissions done. And this was going to be also something special. She really researched, and we had several of South Africa's best composers on as possibilities. And in the end, there were some presentations made, and this was chosen in consultation with the CEO and, of course, Ozma. Mm-hmm. So we're very proud of that. In fact, just earlier this week, Bongani flew out to Minneapolis because this weekend is the send-off concert for them.
Oh, right.
And they will be playing the actual world premiere of this piece there and then bringing it to South Africa.
And then we also have Beethoven's Fifth Symphony,
yes,
which is not only one of the great symphonies, but it's something people can relate to, and it's to do with courage and strength and all that. And it's in the City Hall on the 10th of August, our refurbished City Hall. Johan, what is your next piece of music?
The next piece of music is the Bernstein and the overture to Candide. I've also come to like this through all my tours with orchestras. I've sort of become a specialist in the company. There's a few of us that travel with professional orchestras, and this is often played. And then this year it's so suitable because it's also the centennial of his birth.
We mustn't forget that as well. Yep. Leonard Bernstein was born, I think it's the 28th or something of August,
yes,
100 years ago. Right, here's his thrilling Candide Overture. Thank you. the choice of my guest, Johan van Zyl, who is the Senior Vice President of Classical Movements. And we're talking about the Minnesota Orchestra's tour of South Africa here in Cape Town on the 10th of August and in other cities as well. Has won Grammy Awards. The conductor, Osmo Wenske, has won many awards. So we're really in the company here of a fine orchestra. And what I wanted to know, Johan, is logistically, first of all, is a full orchestra coming out? Because you're doing some big works like that, Candide, like the Beethoven 9. It's not sort of a scaled-down orchestra, is it?
There's 96 musicians coming, so it's quite an orchestra. Yeah. And then some management and other people, another 15 or so. And then there's, in the Gauteng part of the tour, there will be 50 singers of the Minnesota Chorale joining us, those concerts. And there is also about a tour of about 40 patrons coming.
Gosh.
Plus the local radio station in Minnesota, the Minnesota Public Radio, is also bringing up out a supporters tour on their own, and they will be actually broadcasting from Soweto that concert.
Goodness gracious me. So have you hired your own Boeing with all those people and all the instruments?
Yeah. It is difficult to decide how to bring them and when to bring them, and chartering a plane is a big possibility often, but on these big commercial routes, it's not economical. It's better to take to try and use the existing planes, which we are doing. So we're flying the people directly into Cape Town from London, where they would have just performed at the proms. And then the cargo will be coming via Luxembourg and into Johannesburg, and then be trucked down to Cape Town in two huge Pentechnicons.
Gosh, goodness me. So the big instruments, like, for example, timpani and bass drums, that's also coming out. You
everything,
don't use local
everything.
Stuff.
They travel with everything themselves, their own
and
equipment.
Do all the musicians, the small instruments like the violins and the woodwind instruments, can the musicians take them on the plane, or are they all in this Pantechnicon?
Moving an orchestra or the musician's instruments is very technical nowadays, because many of these instruments contain restricted products, natural products like ivory, Brazilian rosewood, tortoiseshell, mother of pearl, or those type of things. And that is very heavily protected and regulated traveling over country borders. So we need to get a CITES permit and stipulate them all, and they are checked into a country and checked out of a country. In South Africa, they do it even, I believe, between provinces. So it's very, very highly restricted. And specifically with the African ivory, we in South Africa are very, very sensitive to this. But most of these, all of these instruments are pre-CITES agreement, which was in the early 70s.
Yeah.
Instruments. Most of these instruments are from the 1800s. So they are declared legal, and they could travel, but you have to go through all those loops. So it's very technical to do that. And yes, very valuable instruments
as
well.
Yes, of course. Because, I mean, we've read a lot about how some airlines treat individual musicians with their instruments, where they've been smashed in the hold, for example, and they're not allowed to take them on board because of security. So I suppose in this case, with a whole orchestra coming, they don't have to take them onto the plane with them. They can stay in the hold.
Yeah, actually, they are in protected cases. They're their own cases inside big wooden
container boxes,
and they are well padded, and they really can travel well like that. And then also, when we travel with trucks in anywhere in the world, that must be temperature controlled trucks, and you can't leave them standing around without that running.
Yes.
And all those type of things. But also in between, when you're not traveling from Cape Town to Durban or Pretoria or Johannesburg, you have to store them somewhere. And that's also become a big logistical thing. You have to unload everything, store them in temperature-controlled, safe places.
Good gracious. Yeah, so one doesn't think of all those things. That's
yeah, and then all the people moving around, there's the soloists on their own itinerary, the conductor on his, and all the logistical people on theirs, and then the musicians on theirs. And they're trying to do some sightseeing in between, because who comes to South Africa and doesn't do a safari? So
Absolutely. All
that is fitted in there. So it becomes quite...
I have to say, you look scarily relaxed. You don't look as though you might have hysterics.
Yeah.
But, and then where do they stay?
Well, mostly in hotels because it's just so much more easy to manage. We would be staying in an hotel where you can get food and everything easily having to go hunting out for that because we don't have the time. It's just from city to city.
So when the Minnesota Orchestra arrives at Cape Town International Airport and this famous symphony orchestra gets off the plane, there will be buses, there tour buses waiting to fetch them and take them to their hotel.
Yeah, for them there will be about 5 or 6 buses, but the whole tour party is going to be 8 buses, so it's a huge operation.
Goodness me. I just don't want to think about it. Let's rather listen to your next piece of music, Johan. What's next on your list?
Yes, I would like to go a little bit more closer to home.
Yes.
And Professor Kumalo is, of course, well known for his African combination of African pieces. So one of the traditional pieces that I love really is Bawu Trikasomandla. And our choirs are all taught that when they come here, and they sing it all over the world. I've heard it in Berlin, I've heard it in Havana, and I've heard it in Buenos Aires, everywhere. It's lovely.
Well, there you are. There's some traditional music written by Khumalo, Zilikazi Khumalo. What was that, Johan?
Bawu Trikasomandla. This is a piece that has got a lot of energy, as you heard, and yeah, it's really well known. And many of the choirs that have toured South Africa take this as part of their repertoire all over. And even the Yale Glee Club has now incorporated this into their Yale songbook as one of their openers that they use. And it gives me cold shivers when I hear it in a foreign city, in a foreign country, but it's lovely.
My guest is Johan van Sail, who is the Senior Vice President of Classical Movements, an organization that, well, literally moves orchestras around the world, as you've just heard. And they are moving the Minnesota Orchestra, the Grammy Award-winning Minnesota Orchestra, and its music director, Osmo Wenske, to South Africa for a 5-city tour. And there's going to be lots of traveling with Pantechnicons, as we've heard, getting the instruments from Johannesburg to Cape Town, Cape Town to Johannesburg to Durban. It's going to be quite a logistical thing, but let's not worry about that. That's for you to worry about. One of the other things I mentioned when I met you earlier in the week was, earlier this past week, you also do choirs, and there was a festival also to do with Mr. Mandela's centenary called Ishlombe. Just tell me a little bit about that, because I don't know much about that.
Ishlombe is international choral festival based here in South Africa, which Classical Movement started in 2009, so this was the 10th year. So it's a milestone for us. And then also there's been incidents along the way where we have sort of almost interacted or were at same places where Nelson Mandela was with some of our choirs. Didn't actually sing for him or that, but so there's a little bit of that history and sentiment about it. And we were also in some of the choirs that toured South Africa through us and our Ishlombe Festival were invited to sing at the memorial, the official memorial in Washington, D.C. for Nelson Mandela in December 2013. So it was obviously logical that we would do some special festival this year commemorating the 100th anniversary of his birth. We also do our Serenade Festival in Washington, D.C., which also had that as a theme, and we had 14 choirs from all over the world with new commissions all on the theme of Nelson Mandela. It was really fantastic. So we commissioned two pieces here, which we performed earlier in the week in the concert in the St. George's Cathedral with 5 American choirs and 3 local choirs participating. Some of the best choirs here in Cape Town have been selected to be part of that, and we really enjoyed it very much to have that 2 commissioned pieces written by 2 South African composers and conducted by the well-known Sedumo Nyamazele in the cathedral earlier the week.
So that is an annual event, is it? This Ishlombe Festival is an
yes.
annual event.
Cape Times described it as the largest annual international choral festival in South Africa. With the emphasis on annual, because this year we had the World Choral Games, which just brings 400-500 choirs, you know, so it's different.
Okay. And you will always, at these festivals, you'll always have choirs from overseas and South African choirs.
Correct, yes. This year it happened to be 5 choirs from the U.S., but often there's other choirs from other parts of the world also participating. We've had New Zealanders, Australians, Europeans, and from all over.
So apart from moving orchestras around, you're also moving choirs around.
That's
but that's
correct.
Probably easier than an orchestra with harps.
Well, a teenage choir is sometimes a little tough at night in the hotel.
Well, that's true. Yes, I can imagine.
Running in the passages.
One imagines that the orchestra will be sort of fairly calm, shall we say, sedate even. So what about you, Johan? This is your life, moving orchestras around, associating with people like that. But have you ever been a musician, or where did your love of music come from? Because you mentioned you do safaris, or you did safaris, and you still do them.
Yeah, I'm a qualified game ranger and also a tracker of wildlife. I used to do hiking safaris, where you would get up close to a herd of animals, which I love, and I also love the Namib Desert, so I often go there. I used to go there with people guiding them in the Namib Desert. But I grew up just south of Namibia in the Kalahari area on a farm, and that's where my love for nature comes from. As I said, my family on my mother's side was very, very musical. All her brothers, everybody had played in different bands and musical groups. But my father's side, not so much. And My daughters are very musical, but somehow it skipped a little bit when it came around to me. So I don't play. I've tried many times, but I just cannot get it right. But I really enjoy music. And certainly I grew up in the 60s, 70s, so I have a lot of that type of music in me. But I love classical music. And touring with these orchestras has just grown that love so much.
It must be a whole sort of blend of emotions when you sit down in the City Hall here in Cape Town to hear the orchestra opening the concert with Candide. After all the logistics, all the planning, the years, I think you said it took about 2 years to plan or more, and then suddenly there they are in their dinner jackets playing, and you're sitting in Cape Town. It must be, you must be feeling proud, you must get goose flesh, you must be feeling emotional.
Oh, yes.
And you must be feeling relieved.
Very relieved as well, yes. I must tell you that I don't know if it's with growing older that it comes, but I shed some tears in Havana when I saw the Minister of Tourism hugging Nita and some other Havana Cuban people in the audience wiping away tears. Mm. When the Cuban national anthem was played back-to-back to the United States national anthem. So I can tell you now already, I'm sure I'm going to be emotional in Cape Town. Specifically, I'm so proud of the fact that the City Hall has been restored.
Yes.
And it looks very promising. I've had a sneak peek.
Have you? Good. Do you think they will play our national anthem here, the Minnesota Orchestra, or don't you know yet, or is that a surprise?
No, they will definitely play it.
Okay. Now, let's have another piece of music, Johann, talking about music. What is your fourth piece?
A piece that I like too, and this is with the choir background, is certainly a piece that also gives me goose flesh, is the traditional ukutula. And specifically, I like the Cape Town Youth Choir's version of it. So
that's what we'll
that's
hear.
What we'll
okay,
hear.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Well, that piece is called Ukutula, and we heard what that was, the Cape Town Youth Choir, was it?
Yes, lovely choir, collaborated a lot on our Islombe festivals in the past, and we love them. They've recently done a tour in the U.S. as well, and Leon Starker is a remarkable conductor.
My guest here, Johan van Zyl, on People of Note this week on Fine Music Radio, talking about the Grammy Award-winning Minnesota Orchestra and its music director, the conductor Osmo Wenske, coming to Cape Town for a performance on the 10th at the City Hall. And you must rush along and get tickets, because I think it's something not to be missed to hear an orchestra of this standard here on our shores. So that's on the evening of the 10th of August. But now, Johan, we were talking earlier about repertoire and how difficult it must have been. And Beethoven features on the programs, the last movement of the 9th in Johannesburg, in Soweto, the 5th symphony here. I mean, I'm sure some people might say, why Beethoven? But Beethoven is the basic music, isn't it, that every orchestra needs to play, and every orchestra needs to play particularly well. It's not easy, and it's hugely important.
Yes, certainly. And it's almost like you're measured against other orchestras or how you play your Beethoven. Beethoven is a big love of mine as well. There's just so much music out there that one, it's difficult to have favorites, but that's certainly one of our favorites, especially the 9th. And we would, especially the final movement where you have the choruses involved, and that's what we're going to do.
Now, Osmo Wenske's recordings, I think I'm right in saying this, I mentioned this earlier, of Sibelius and now of Beethoven, have been extremely well received. People saying it's Beethoven as you've never heard him before.
Yes, it's actually been in the press in New York. A critic has mentioned that, but Beethoven like you've never heard it before after a Carnegie performance. Mm-hmm. So we are really excited about that, the repertoire for South Africa, and we really think that this is an exceptional occasion. Six exceptional conductor, exceptional orchestra with very specific, displaying their very specific talents.
Yeah. Am I right in saying that Osmo Wenske has been there for a while now at Minnesota, and the Minnesota Orchestra sort of went into a bit of a kind of doldrum and was very provincial, and he has really brought it up to now, this award-winning leading U.S. orchestra, hasn't he? He's been responsible, and they obviously really respect him.
Oh, yes. There's a big, a very, very vibrant relationship between conductor and musicians. And certainly, they went through a tough time when they had a bit of a strike and a lockout situation, which lasted quite long. But they've really bounced back enormously. And there's excitement when they play. It's really good to see them play. And I've watched many recordings and live performances of
Are the concerts well attended in Minnesota?
Oh yes, it's a very, very large concert going community, and very involved sponsors as well, and just really very involved. There's a group of sponsors actually traveling with them to South Africa as well.
Gosh, it's quite a contingent coming out here. So I read somewhere, Johan, that the Minnesota Orchestra has been touring for years and years and years and years. And at one stage, it had the nickname the Orchestra on Wheels.
Yes, they started, I think it was in 1903 when they were founded, and soon had to start traveling because the audience, strangely enough, at that stage in and around Minnesota, and maybe they wouldn't like it if I say this, but there wasn't enough audience, so that to get recognition, they had to travel around.
Oh, okay.
They traveled in those days with trains and buses and things all over the U.S.,
Now, I know you said you were going to try and get Osmo Wenske to be my guest, and I know he's hugely busy and is flying in and out, but I'm still going to hold thumbs, because to have him here on Fine Music Radio would be really quite a coup. But Johan, what's next on your list after you've got back to home and you've been able to settle down in the Minnesota tours all over? Who are you taking around the world next time?
I think my wife.
That's a lovely answer.
We need to go to a place we haven't been yet. It's difficult. She's been to 96 countries in the world.
Goodness.
But we recently both discovered Greece. Funny enough, we haven't been there before.
And so you're literally going to take a holiday without an orchestra following around?
Yes, or pushing them around.
Or pushing them around, exactly.
Yes, no, Greece, specifically some of the islands, we discovered some of those that are run. And I've got a passion with Greece because I want to run that original marathon still. I'm a big marathon runner.
Oh, right.
So I'm aiming for next year, November. I want to run the original marathon.
My goodness. Okay. Well, Johan, it's been great talking to you and finding out about the back room parts of a big orchestra tour like this. I'm dying to see this orchestra. I can't wait. And especially hearing Beethoven's Five. But thank you for coming in. Thanks for doing this. We've got to have some Beethoven. We haven't had Beethoven yet.
Yes, certainly. I must just say before I close off with this, I'm so excited for South Africa and my country for this orchestra coming. And I really think that I really hope that people will come out and support.
Oh, absolutely. We'll insist that they do.
The Beethoven Ninth is really up there. Mm-hmm. And I particularly like the last movement with the choir. And yes. And we're going to be doing that in Soweto. Okay.
Well, I think because it's a long movement, let us play the sequence which involves the Ode to Joy, which is so well known.
Yes.
And has become, as we know, the national anthem of the European Union.
That's correct.
My guest has been Johan van Sail, who is the Senior Vice President of Classical Movements. And the Minnesota Orchestra will be here on the 10th of August performing at the City Hall. Johan, thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
This December, something extraordinary is coming to Cape Town. Experience the global phenomenon Matilda the Musical, inspired by the magic of Roald Dahl, live on stage at Artscape. The New York Post says, believe the hype. Don't miss the musical of the decade, proudly brought to you by Peter Turin and GWB Entertainment in association with the Royal Shakespeare Company. Be a genius. Book now. FMR.